It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And here we go again, friends. Another episode of your favorite golf podcast. We're back. It's Golf is Ruining My Life. I am your host, numero one, Tom Green. And this is host, also numero one, Tom Price.
I'm a surprisingly long par. What are you? If you were a par, what are you? I'm a long par four.
I think due to the fact that I'm 5'8", I'm probably a par three.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, I'm a par three.
Okay.
Average height in the UK is 5'8". If I'm honest, I'm more of 5'7.5".
All right, because average, I'd say par four. So, okay, a long par three, maybe like a sort of a 3-iron par three.
Then I really don't like me. I do have a strong belief that all par threes should be a pitching wedge.
Love that.
The best
way. Well, no, just take that approach even when they're 250 yards.
Yeah, fine.
Just, this is my policy on par threes. I'm sorry, it's a pitching wedge or nothing. If there was a golfing dating app and that's how you had to describe yourself, can you imagine? Just loads of, it would be full of loads of men all trying to get back on their feet after the divorce.
Yeah,
the kids are happy now, it's all sorted.
The thing about the golfing dating app, it would be all the blokes that have got divorced because they're addicted to golf. Yeah. Now go, my next partner has to at least like this sport. Yeah. So I need a golfing partner.
So what would your golfing dating app bio be? Would it be like, I'm a 14 clubs kind of guy, once had 15 clubs in my bag for a while, but that's because I'm dangerous. I'm ruddy dangerous.
I like it traditional, but please let me wear a hoodie.
Oh, nice.
That's what I want.
I would be there. I would say I pay a lot of attention to detail. I am a three wedge kind of guy.
Oh, I don't want a golf dating. Really, I don't want a golf dating app. Can I talk about the text that I sent you earlier this week?
Yep.
So I got very, very excited last Sunday.
Yeah.
And I text Tom a variety of different texts. And I just want to read them on the show to give a bit of a feel of where I'm at right now.
Bearing in mind, I paused Traitors.
Did you?
Sorry, guys. You're going to have to wait a sec. Tom Green's having an emergency. It was beautiful. I nearly called an emergency podcast because of it. I was like, do you know what? Maybe we should record it there and then.
So it was 7:15. It was actually Saturday night. Each one of these is an individual text. Today, I have had a beautiful game of golf.
I like it when people are so excited they can't help but send...
Send. 8 over. Should have been 5 over. Had a triple on the par 3 17th. I love golf. It's a magnificent sport.
Did you get a triple on the par 3 17th because you insisted on using a wedge?
I actually did something that was along the lines of that, actually. It was here's a really good question for you, yeah. Right? God, I don't even know where to start with this round of golf because there's so much that I want to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to start here.
Cool.
I'm not hugely religious as an individual, right?
Okay.
And I don't believe in a physical thing above us, right? But I do, after Saturday, genuinely believe that there are golfing gods and that this sport has a spirit, and I'm not bullshitting you, and gives you what you need when you want it.
We become spiritual when either really nice or really awful things happen to us.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
As a species.
Yeah.
So,
God, you're clever. That's good. That's true. That's true.
I don't know if that's clever. You'd think then that golf generated a lot of spirituality because of the bad things happening, right? But this is a rare moment where you have found a higher calling. It's almost like you've taken a gap year from golf ruining your life.
Mm.
And you've gone and found yourself and you found this new happiness. Why did you say that? What was your feeling that made you say that?
Because there is nothing about what I'd done going into that game of golf that deserved the scores and the way I played. I've not done any practicing. I'm not putting anywhere near as much time in as I used to.
Yeah.
And I played probably the best I've ever played.
When did you think something special is happening here? Because this is your best round of golf ever.
Yeah, it probably was my best round of golf ever, yeah.
Can I say something? When I shot my craziest best ever round of golf, didn't sleep.
I couldn't stop. I just kept saying to Em all day, I love golf. It's special. There is something special. And I just think golf has a way of going. The golf gods go, we know you love this.
Yeah.
And we know you need this. So here's something. I just couldn't hit a bad shot. I've never driven the ball like I drove the ball there.
Thing is, I would say, not to put too much of a rational slant on it, but you've changed your swing a lot. And that's starting to pay off now.
That's what was doing it. It was the fact that every swing was so controlled. So there was no real way of stuff going wrong because I was always going to find at least some, pretty much the center of the face because I was swinging so slow.
Golf is so easy when it's easy.
Just, it was relaxed. Yeah. And it happened on the first tee because on the first tee, I thought, I've not played golf in forever. I need to slow this down so much.
Yeah.
And it didn't go very far, but it was straight down the middle. And as the round progressed, I sped up the swing slowly.
Yes.
Nowhere near where it used to be, but still controlled, and the ball just went further and further, and it was straight down the middle. I was hitting this lovely little high draw.
So a controlled swing speed. So a controlled swing acceleration.
Yeah.
You were in control of the whole thing. But did you think, because I had a similar round, not such a good score, but I had a really similar round towards the end of last year where I'd had my gap and I hadn't played for ages. And it was almost like I wasn't really that interested in this girl. And now she was suddenly being nice to me.
Yeah. It's exactly that. As soon as you don't want something, it gives it to you.
And it makes me realize how every time I play golf, I'm so desperate. I'm playing tomorrow.
Right.
All right. It's my only round this week. I've been really busy this week. Haven't stopped thinking about it all week.
Yeah, so you want it.
And do you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have my heart broken.
Yeah, it's going to be awful.
It's going to be stamped on by the golfing gods.
Yeah.
It's going to be put through a meat grinder.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be sitting in my car, eating my own soul on the way back.
There needs to be a way of bottling the emotion of that feeling that you have when you shoot an amazing score, which is just this relaxed, nonchalant, doesn't matter
Ernie.
Approach.
Ernie, you're Ernieing.
Yeah.
Verbalize it, mate, Ernieing. I would say, actually, here's a good idea. When you had a good round of golf, we write notes. We've talked about this before on the show. You write a few notes. Do a voice note to yourself. It sounds like sitting in the, make sure no one's watching. Hi, mate. It's me. And we've got this podcast, so we can just come back and listen to this, Tom. When you have a bad round later on this year,
I need to go back and listen to this.
Come back to this January episode. Hi, mate, it's me. Just to let you know, if you go really slowly and just really try and get the left shoulder round,
actually, you're going to
be, okay, love you, bud. Like sending yourself an email.
The shot where it all went wrong,
for the triple,
which was the 17th, which is the triple, was the shot that I thought about the most. Yes. So let me paint the scene for you of what it is. Please do. You're five over standing on the 18th.
Yeah.
Which for me is just like, I don't play like that. That's not the golf that I do day in, day out.
Yeah.
And it was a par three. It was 115 yards. Okay.
Oh, we're in Wedgetown.
115 yards, downhill severely.
So we're playing 90. It's playing 90?
Something like that. But it's all OB. It's actually a crazy hole. You're hitting over a road.
This is a Verulam.
It is Verulam. You know the hole.
Oh my God. I know the hole.
You know the exact hole, Verulam Golf Club. That's where I played.
It's a flick and a swish and a wish.
So.
I have sneezed further than that hole.
So, exactly. But the greens are frozen.
Oh no, come on.
So if you land it on the green, it goes bang. So what do we do? So for me, it's a gap wedge. It's always a gap wedge.
Oh, but you can't play like that. That's fine. Oh, I did. See, I would be like, oh, just hit it on the side of the green and I'll knock it on or something. Like, you've got to give yourself a...
So at this point, I was five over and I knew I couldn't land it pin high.
How would you got to five over with frozen greens?
I don't know. I just played unbelievably.
Wasn't the ball coming in and just doing?
I was sort of playing for it.
Oh, wow.
I was playing it. I think this is what helped because everything went about 15 yards further than I thought it would.
No,
so everything would land just off the front of the green. Bang, roll up to the pin. Oh, it was nice. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, good.
So
good.
I overthought it. I didn't take my gap wedge. I took a 54 degree and I put it on the road. And I went,
oh! How high did the ball bounce?
It didn't. It just went straight into the bush. You know the bush?
Yeah.
It goes... tee, road, yeah. Bush. It just went straight into the bush.
I love that hole. I love a blind tee shot because no matter what happens, you can't see the pin often on that hole.
No.
And so you will often walk down thinking, hole in one, yeah. Hole in one. And you'll always be a bit disappointed when it's not hole in one. Even if it's a foot away, you'll be like, oh, it should be hole in one.
So I'd taken the first one and I wasn't sure it was in the bush. So then I played a provisional, then played my gap wedge, ended up back of the green. I was like, should have played that first time.
Yes.
Because it's blind, you have that optimism as you walk over going,
yeah,
oh, it might not be in the bush. It might just be on the front edge.
And then how was your rate? Because it's a long par five, is it, on the last hole?
Long par five, yeah, parred it.
Parred it.
Yeah. That was the nature of, I got three birdies.
Amazing.
That was the nature of that round.
They played the first ever Ryder Cup at Verulam. If you were alive then, you could have played in that.
I could have done.
That's how good you were.
And it's not like they mention it all the time, is it?
They never bring it up.
Never bring it up.
Verulam is where I sat in the captain's chair in the clubhouse.
Now here's did you get bollocked?
Yes.
They're a little bit old school there.
They're very yamly old school.
They know what you're going. Oh, okay,
very,
sure.
Very, very yamly. Yeah, they want you to know you've done wrong and you're a bad boy and you'll be paddled next time.
Yeah, it was a weird one playing there because I actually really enjoyed the course. The course is really nice.
Yeah, it's quite short. It's quite short.
I think that helped my score.
It's still hard though. I mean, still tricky, so you've done really well.
You always say this when you play well, don't you? I found it an easy place to play because it was short, but I don't feel it was particularly tight. It wasn't like Muswell Hill tight.
But you can visualize a lot of shots there. There's something about it. It's a good Parkland course. This is why I like Parkland golf because you've got these sort of often corridors of trees. Mm. You can really see the shot. I'm a really visual person. And if I see the shot happening, I can really make that happen. Whereas sometimes, you know, open courses, I don't see it in the same way and I spray it. You know what I mean? But in that course, got sometimes lovely greens tucked away with trees behind them and you've got to just come in there. And
that's why I struggle sometimes when I play Lynx golf because it's not dictated enough.
Me
I
too.
Had this when I played Silithon Solway, which is an amazing golf course, but it was really hard to visualize any shot because sometimes you can't even really work out where the fairway is.
Yeah.
It's just a mass openness.
Yeah. It's an open world computer game versus a sort of mission computer game, isn't it? It's like, I'm a Call of Duty guy.
Yes.
I don't want your Red Dead Redemption.
I'm not Sims.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I don't want open world. I want to be told where to go. So talk to me more about, now you've had this round of golf that's, again, golf knows what it's doing. The golfing goes. You're right. The randomness of golf and the silly gameness that we always go on about, and God, it's so arbitrary. There's a sentient being behind it.
I think
there has to be.
There is something that gave me that at the right time because since then I have really lent back into. I'm emails left, right, and centre about joining golf clubs.
Hello, golf knows what it's doing.
Yep.
So unbelievable.
On Sunday this week, I'm playing a round of golf. The golf course that I think I might potentially end up joining.
Wow. Hello to everyone at Woburn.
6-year waiting list. We'll come back to that. Hadley Wood.
Oh, lovely. We shot there. We played there.
I've never played there.
Oh, what was the one we played at? Oh, that was like Rabbit's Wood or something, wasn't it? Or
we have not played Hadley Wood, have we?
No, what was the one we filmed at with the...
Oh, Porter's Park.
Porter's Park.
We filmed at Porter's Park.
Nothing to do with Hadley Wood.
And I'm going to Hadley Wood, which... on a lot of lists is the top or the second top golf course in Hertfordshire.
Okay. That is such a partridge.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, this is the second top golf
course. It's the premium.
In Hertfordshire. We don't talk about the Grove. So let's go on in there. And,
or Centurion.
Yeah. Welcome to Not Centurion. That's very exciting. And I would say that you talked last time about the sort of wanting to be a kind of footloose and fancy free golfer, which is fine. And I've done that myself, but you need a home.
I need a home and I'm playing there on Sunday. It is just more money than I've ever spent on golf before. We're in the world of joining fees.
What are we saying? Can you talk about it? Do you mind talking about it?
I can talk about it. I can talk about it. They want $2,000.
Okay.
As a joining fee. And it's not far.
Klarna?
I don't know if they take Klarna, have emailed saying, can we split this over a few years?
I think if you went to the pro shop and said Klarna, they'd be like, no, she stopped working here. Yeah. She left a couple of years ago.
She got sacked.
No, Klarna, the payment thing. I don't know who you're talking about.
So, yeah, it's more than, it's very real now, the cost of joining these really nice courses. Like forever I spoke about joining a really nice golf course
and it
sort of felt this like big distance thing. And now I'm on emails and they're like, yeah, so it would just be $2,000 now. And I'm like, okay. I had a chat with Woburn as well.
Oh, you didn't?
Very much a 7-year waiting list.
But also quite a quick chat financially. Woburn's huge.
Woburn's a lot of money. But then also it's a life thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a big life.
Yeah.
Joining forever.
Of course.
Thing.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
No, I'm not sure.
It's more than $2,000.
Woburn's like 10, 15, 20 grand, isn't it?
And it's not $20,000.
Okay.
It's about... Some 10-ish grand.
I mean,
It's
too much money. And also, Tom, we've talked about this before as well. I just don't think I'd enjoy it. I think I'd spend my whole time playing there going, oh, God. It's a bit like, I can't go on nice holidays. Don't take me to the Maldives because I'll just be going, this is too nice. I don't deserve this. I should be back in Devon at a push.
Yeah.
That's all I can have.
Your Christian guilt coming back.
Yeah, something's going on there. So tell me then, and we're getting towards the ads, by the way.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, and I've got a golf confession to make after the ads.
Okay.
I think I might be a drug cheat.
A drug cheat?
I think I might be a drug cheat. Quite a thing to drop in.
Golf drug cheat?
Just in case Ofcom are listening to podcasts. Not really.
Yeah.
Not about to promote any sort of drug intake, but I think I might be a bit of a drug cheat with golf.
I can't wait to hear about this.
Just going to put that out there. But what I want you to think about as we go into the ads.
Are we going to the ads right now?
Well, in a sec. We've got time for this, pre-ads. What are the sort of headlines from this amazing round of golf? What has it made you think about with golf for the year ahead?
It is all about slowing down.
It so is.
That's what I learned from my great round of golf is all the tips and all the tricks that you know, you are far more likely to deliver on them if you're not swinging at a million miles an hour.
The problem is whenever I've had a really good round of golf, when it's over and I should be making those conclusions and writing things down, I'm already like 3 shandies in.
Yeah.
And it's already becoming a blur and I just feel great.
I'm happy and it's amazing and life's great and I forgot all my lessons.
And then the next time I play, I'm like, well, I think this is going to be easy because it was easy last time and then it's gone. But it's forever the tightrope walk, isn't it? And as soon as you start thinking, I'm walking a tightrope between these two buildings really high up, as soon as you're conscious about it, you're done for.
And as soon as it means something.
Yeah.
As soon as you think you deserve that. That's what I mean about the golf gods. As soon as you think you deserve the good golf, they will grab it off you.
I know. And also you just do it again and again and again. I mean, how many times when am I going to learn? 30 years I played this game. And yet every time, and I'm so in this place right now, I'm playing tomorrow morning. And right now I think I've got it. It's like every single time I think I bought the winning lottery ticket and 99 times out of 99, I have not.
And you've never learned.
And you still think, this is it.
It's a gambling addiction.
It's a gambling addiction and it's ruining our lives.
Yeah.
When the fun stops, start playing golf.
Adverts?
Yes, please.
Go on then. Right, welcome back to Golf is Ruining My Life. You're a drug addict.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got no idea where this story is going to go.
I'm a drug cheat.
Okay.
So I've discovered that when I play golf, if I have a coffee when I arrive, I am substantially better. Right?
Is that right?
Caffeine really works for my golf.
Okay.
Caffeine is technically a drug. Okay.
Not one you're going to get banned for, though.
No.
But it does give you an unfair advantage.
So, right. This is my discussion. I felt a bit like I was cheating. Here's what happened. Turned up for the medal. Have we spoken about when I played the medal the other day?
No.
We did that on the last episode.
No.
Oh, I did the medal at Muswell Hill.
Okay.
Turned up, played with a lovely guy called Ed. We were playing really early on a Saturday morning. My kids were in football classes. My wife was off doing some swimming. Everyone in my life was happy. So it was a guilt-free round of golf, which you don't have to worry about yet so much.
I can understand how you would get into the position when they're not all guilt-free though. Like, yeah. I get that.
Yeah. And you're just always playing golf with a bit of a... Oh,
yeah, I should be at home.
Shouldn't I be doing it? Really? Really? So to have a round of golf where I could just go, it's fine that I'm here. Mm. And I've got a new Yeti mug, #ad, #spon.
Yeah, cheers Yeti.
It's enormous, right? And I made myself a massive coffee when I left the house, forgot about it, drove up, got there, warmed up, did everything. Just about to go on course, I'm like, I've got my coffee. Went and got it, still hot.
Lovely.
Right? Little sip. Here's the key thing. It's not like I went slug, slug, slug. There's my shot of coffee. Off I go. I drip fed myself coffee. It lasted exactly 9 holes.
Right. Okay.
Little sip, hot coffee. Play the hole. 10 minutes later, little sip, hot coffee.
That's lovely.
Play the hole. Just guiding me in, right? Like some, I don't know. Like you're getting these things now with a lot of goalkeepers and footballers chewing tobacco and getting a little buzz from
it. Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
This is what I'm doing, right?
Snuffs, I think it's called.
Yeah, exactly. I'm into snuff, guys. I'm into snuff. And then I shot a 4-over on the first 9 holes in the medal.
Nice.
And we've talked about this before. Playing the medal
is different.
It's a different sport. It's really hard. And I'm just about getting there now. And that 4-over featured 4 putts, which were all holeable birdie putts. And I missed all 4 of them. We're talking 5-6 feet.
But having that opportunity, I think it's brilliant. There's such a mindset when you're rolling with those birdie opportunities. It doesn't really, obviously it's amazing if you get them, but if it doesn't, yeah. It's such a power.
It's such a nice feeling.
Yeah.
And the bogey was the 4-over was a double bogey and then 2 bogeys. And I just felt fantastic.
Yeah.
4-over par. And the back nine's easier. And then I ran out of coffee. And the back nine, I shot 11-over par.
No, you didn't.
Bogey. Oh, no, par on the 11th, on the 10th.
Yeah, short par 4, lovely hole.
Really nice hole. Parred it. Up and down.
Yeah, nice.
We're scrambling. This is going to be one of the greatest days. This is going to be a special episode of Golfers Ruining My Life. Double bogey on the par 5, double bogey on the par 3 after that.
Double bogey on the par 3?
I completely lost the ability to do it. And you know what it was? You know what it was?
Yeah.
The short game.
Oh, do you thin it? You must have thinned the wedge, surely.
No, slightly long wedges. They're not tuned in again yet. That's the thing, famously, isn't it? When you come back after a break at golf,
yeah.
Being able to chip and feel your way around greens is the thing that takes the longest to come back.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you've got to be most patient with when you've had a break from golf.
That's why I always say when you come back, start those little bumper runs.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
Not, when you've not played much for golf, just bumper run it. You can't go too wrong.
Run. Absolutely. Exactly. Just a giant putt, essentially, is what you're saying. Yeah. But then the 3 putts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice putt. We've got about halfway to the hole. Oh, that's annoying. Again, nowhere near the hole. 3 putt. Da-da-da, 3 putt. Da-da-da, 3 putt. So it ended up 15 over, which is fine for the medal, but not very good, really. For me, I was annoyed, especially seeing as how well I was playing because I was doing all the things. I'm swinging slowly. I've got this new thing now where as I come in, I'm making sure I'm getting my head behind the ball, because a big problem I've got is I come in and I take everything over there.
Right.
I'm exaggerating here for the purposes of turning it into a fascinating anecdote.
Sure.
But I tend to, the left side, I'm right-handed, my left side tends to fall away as I hit the ball.
Okay.
And especially when I get tired, just tends to do that. Whereas if I'm now coming in and the head stays there, do you see the difference?
Oh, so you hit, okay, fine, yeah, I see
the
what you
head's
mean.
Just on top of the ball
yeah,
a bit
yeah,
more,
yeah.
Bam. And I haven't been doing that. And the difference that made was, that has made me so excited about tomorrow because this is my new breakthrough.
Because he's found something.
This is my new lottery ticket to golfing heaven.
Yeah. On the 3-putting thing, very quickly,
yeah.
This is why I think there's a lot of advantage to, on your practice rounds, holing out.
Yeah.
Because so often no one holds out. You always just, you're within putter length. That's given, that's given, that's given. If you're anything like me, it's those putter length putts. I'll miss.
Yeah.
3, 4 of them per round.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the difference between shooting, breaking 80 and not breaking 80.
You've got to hold those out. And also accept that you might, especially in winter greens where there's bubbles and all sorts is going on and you're doing a medal, you've got to hold them out in the medals.
Yeah.
You should hold them out when you play.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? You're getting more value for money from your hole. You've paid for every round of every single hole you're playing on the golf course. You've paid a certain amount of money.
You might as well finish it off.
You might as well make the most of it.
But it will just help when you come to a medal and you're used to those little scary, because I hate them. I absolutely hate them. Those 3-footers.
Loathe them. But I discovered a trick when I was about 14 and I still use it now with a 3 or 4 foot putt.
Right.
I keep my head down until I hear the noise of the ball go in the hole.
Don't even look.
Don't even look. So I'll just go doink and it'll go in every time. Not every time, sometimes I miss.
Yeah, come on, really, sometimes you miss.
Instead of the noise of the ball going in the hole, you hear the noise of Tom Green going, "You're right, mate.
Yeah, okay.
Why are you throwing your golf club at that greenkeeper? What's he done to you?"
You made the noise again.
It does help. Yeah, it really helps.
So how was the medal? Did you enjoy playing it?
Played with a lovely guy called Ed. He was really nice. Just 2 of us early on a Saturday. So we raced around. We only were like 3.5 hours, which is super quick on a weekend. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed turning up for this because monthly medal, everyone's got their game faces on.
This isn't proper golf. Yeah,
this is golf now. Like, he's here. Oh, he's one of the best players at the club. And, you know, last time I played with him, I was crap. I want to show him that I'm good. And you'll get a message from someone like our mate Jay, who's a member there, or my mate Paul, who's a member there, will say, oh, what happened to you on the medal? You cannot overestimate the power of your score being seen by all your mates at the club.
But we do want to reiterate, it's not important. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. Don't overthink it. Relax, enjoy it. But everyone will see your score.
And that is the thing, isn't it? The ability to relax in the teeth of that is God knows how these professional golfers do it. How on earth do they take those putts or take these sensitive shots with millions of pounds and majors and all your friends and family and a whole lifetime of sacrifice leading up to this moment?
But it does start to make certain shots make sense. Like, did you watch Rory coming down 18 when he lost out to Tommy Fleetwood? That was 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, before he won.
Before he won, yeah. He went on to win the week after. I think both tournaments must have been in Dubai then.
Yeah.
So he lost out to Tommy Fleetwood coming down 18 and he pulled his driver into the water.
Yeah.
I'm like, Rory, how do you do that when you've got a one-shot lead coming down 18?
Yeah.
How do you put it in the water on the left when you should just take a 4-iron and get it in the middle of the fairway? How does that happen? And it's because the pressure gets to everyone.
The pressure gets to everyone and the timing changes by, I wonder if a computer, even with the incredible tech that will film a golf club hitting it and tells you everything, I wonder if it could spot the difference in timing between the successful shot and the less successful shot. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, obviously you're going to see the face doing that by a fraction, but in terms of speed and everything like that, it's almost like probably identical. It's tiny, it's molecular, the difference in swing.
Yeah.
So to be able to live with that as a player is just, I don't know how you do it, to not know. I trust my swing. That's a big moment when you trust your swing. Mm. And the hardest thing about trusting your swing is when it goes wrong. So when you do miss it left, when you're under masses of pressure, is that going to echo back in your head when you've got a one-shot lead going in the last next time?
I just think Rory's got to kick himself. Yeah. You've got to kick yourself there when you're leading going down 18.
Yeah, I think he does.
And you pull the driver and you put it in the rubbish and then Tommy Fleetwood wins.
What do you think of the Dubai courses? Because I watched the Dubai, I don't even know what it's called, the Desert Classic, the one after.
Yeah, the one that Rory won.
The one that Rory won by like 19 shots. What did you make of it? I don't like watching it very much. I think it's a bit depressing because apart from that amazing Chinese golfer who was spraying it everywhere.
Oh, I didn't see him.
I think his name's Lee, L-I. Right. He was literally hitting it into the actual desert.
Oh, superb.
And taking like a 2-iron and bending it around a tree and putting it on the green and birdieing it. It was crazy. I find watching the Dubai stuff, it's weird seeing a golf course in the desert like that. It's a bit soulless.
It is weird, but it's super pristine golf, isn't it? It's the same thing that the PGA Tour has. It's that amazingly pristine, everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Golf. And there's that hole which has the Dubai skyline in the background, which is a really impressive.
It's iconic, isn't it?
It is iconic. But it's the same as any of these things. I struggle to, and I'm not going to name names here, but there's a golf club that I consider joining and the joining fee was so insane and the golf course is new. So I was a bit like, I don't know where you're getting your idea of prestige and heritage from for that cost when you're a brand new golf course.
And it will feel inevitably rough around the edges. There's going to be snagging.
Yeah, of course it is.
It's going to be a bit of a new build.
And that's the difference between watching golf in Dubai, that super pristine, amazing golf. Mm. It will never be like watching someone play Birkdale play the old course. Again, another conversation I had with someone playing golf the other day, that the old course fundamentally isn't that good. Here's a hot take for you. The old course, I'm going to say, so there's someone that's not actually played it, so slate me.
But here we go, courses that actually aren't that good. Here's some home truths from Tom Green.
Everyone I speak to about the old course says, not actually that good.
Yeah. Ditto Augusta, not that nice. Yeah. Just a lot of fuss over nothing, really.
Yeah.
There is I know I've heard that about the old course from other people.
Because I've heard it's three holes, it's 1-17 and 18. And I've heard other people say it's only really 17. It's only really the road hole.
Yeah, it's a long way to go for a lot of filler. I mean, listen, don't get me wrong, old course, if you're watching, which you're probably not now.
Oh, yeah.
We'd love to play. Well done, Tom.
I'd love to go.
Unbelievable.
Sorry.
Unbelievable.
But I think surely even the people that work at the old course would go, in terms of layout, this isn't the most exciting course. But that's not the point. The point is you're playing history.
If I want to do something beautiful and incredible, Loch Lomond or any number of courses in Scotland or all around the country, but when you're playing that course, you're challenging yourself against yourself, but hundreds of years of other golfers, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing that people have done there for such a long time. And there are so few sports that can do that. Sure, there's cricket and Lords or whatever, but sports where you can do with different tech, but basically the same thing that people have been doing for hundreds of years, they are few and far between.
But isn't that then goes into your personal opinion of how you rate golf courses? Each of us has a set of different faders in our mind as to what is most important when it comes to playing a golf course. Is it the layout? Is it what the other people are like? Is it the clubhouse? Is it the facilities? Is it the greens? Each of us have all of these in our mind and have them faded up to different degrees as to what's important to us.
I've realized the problem I've got is that I just love, and this is like a trench, and it's in horrible condition and you can't really putt. I love playing golf on any course. I'm thinking about the courses I've played on, and it's in vanishingly rare where I go, I didn't really like it that much. Every course I play, I go, yeah, it's amazing, it's brilliant. Because there's always the next hole.
All
you need is a couple of holes, of course, when it's bad.
Yeah.
One or two holes where you go, that was great. Mm. Like every golf course I've played, I just go, it's brilliant. I really feel like that. I'm always just like, I almost don't care about the quality of the course in terms of, you know, how well the greens are cut or stuff like that. Almost just the pure act of being able to play makes me happy enough, which sounds a bit idealistic, but it is how I feel. Like, I'm always just like, oh, it's great. Yeah, I love it.
And there's always one moment, I think, in a round, even when I played that golf course the other week with my friend who's only just started golf. So we found a really cheap £5 golf course that was basically a park. Yeah. Even that, when I birdied the 18th, I was like, this is real golf.
Yeah, mate. I birdied the last hole playing foot golf.
Yeah, and it felt proper.
And I felt like I think this is what I mean. It sounds like I'm making this up. I just love it so much. I don't care. Someone could say, I've got a field at the back of my house. I've dug a hole over there. Can you hit these balls into that hole? And I'll go, yeah, this is the best golf course I've ever played. Like, honestly, I love it so much. And I go to a very basic happy place when I'm doing it, that nothing else in my life quite gets to. It's just a pure kind of like, oh, you know, obviously there's the anger and the disappointment that comes, but the base level of pleasure is something I'm very in touch with at the moment, having had the break and started again for a new year. I'm very much like,
pure again.
Very pure.
Reborn.
Speaking of which, before we go, next week, one of the things I guarantee you are going to be talking about are the new Cobra Dark Speeds. Super excited about this. Have yours arrived?
No, have yours arrived?
My Cobra Dark Speeds have arrived, right?
What? When?
They arrived yesterday. Get this. I know. My wife, right? They arrived downstairs. I was working upstairs. She came in, interrupted me. I was doing something really tense and annoying. It was an accountancy thing and I had to get it done. Ba, 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 ba. She came upstairs and went, oh, can I just say? And I was like, what is it? Got a bank statement here. I was like, okay, fine, great. It's our joint account. I was like, went off. Came back to me later. Sorry, can I just, what is it? Where are the AA batteries? Oh God, like getting more and more annoyed. And then eventually she came in and went, you've had a parcel from Cobra. I was like, you knew that. I was like, when did that arrive? And she was like 2 hours ago. Just been waiting for the moment to tell you.
So annoying. Tell me instantly. Me.
So here's what I've done. I've recorded audio of me opening them and my opening thoughts.
Amazing.
Between now and next week, when we next record an episode of Golf is Ruining My Life, Tom will also,
I will a bit hope so,
be getting some kit from our friends at Cobra.
Yes.
You need to record the same thing. And let's compare notes and see if we say the same things, or crucially, make the same noises.
I really hope they turn up before I'm playing golf on Sunday. I really want them on Sunday.
I'm playing golf tomorrow morning.
And you're going to use them.
And I've got my new woods. The irons haven't arrived yet. The new putter, which looks incredible, hasn't arrived
yet. Yeah, the putters look amazing.
If those arrive tomorrow when I'm on the golf course, I'm going to go absolutely crazy.
I want to use my 7-wood. I want to use my 7-wood.
Mate.
So just very quickly on my round of golf that I'm playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to join there, and you know, because it means something to me. Mm. You know how I'm going to play.
This is exactly it. Mm-hmm. Well, look, again, and I hope this counts not just for you, Tom, but for all our listeners. When it happens, when you do play badly because it means something, remember us talking about this here. We are with you. We know what that feels like, and it happens to all of us. And try and use that sort of like the group thought? Therapy.
The thought is, none of this means anything. It doesn't matter. Slow it down.
The thought is, slow down and just play a shot at a time. and do that thing, which we've talked about with that Ernie does. Not only does he play slow, but he thinks slow. So I'm not saying he's slow, Ernie.
Sure.
He's got a lot of GCSEs.
Yes.
Not so many eye levels.
But is it offensive?
Probably. He plays slow, he thinks slow. When the bad shots happened, he takes a step. Simon Dyson told us this, and he just walks off and forgets about it.
Yeah.
Do that. For goodness sake, do that.
Think and it slow. Will swing slow.
Yes. And it will work. It will work.
Thank you so much for listening for another episode of Golf is Ruining My Life. I've not said this for a while. Please go to the bottom. Give us a comment. Give us a review. Give us a rating. Make sure you're subscribed. We're getting so many more listeners at the moment, but loads of people aren't subscribed. So hit that subscribe button and you get the episode instantly when it lands.
Thank you very much for coming. Play well. Don't forget to get in touch with us. Let us know how are your early season heebie-jeebies going. The Toms at golfisruiningmylife.co.uk.
Swing slow. Think so. Bye.
Love it.
Love it. Love it.
Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.